Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, 23rd of February 2016. It's Cup semi-final second leg day, and my name is Davey McGimsey. Paddy's away again. That kid's had more short breaks than Judith Chalmers, so we have Hitchy back in the chair. We hear from a host of voices from around the league. Cardiff Devils GM Todd the Killer Kelman, Clan head coach Ryan Finnerty, our own head coach Derek Walser, Jim van der Meer, and the boy from the back office that's played over 50 times for the club this season, Brandon Benedict. We're going to look back at the victories over the Stars, Panthers and Blaze, and we get amped up about tonight's big cup game, then cast an eye towards the weekend, as well as answering your fan agenda questions. If you want to get in touch, you can on the email podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com, Twitter @AVFTB, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. I'm not sure if we're on Tinder, but if we are, swipe right. But for now, it's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best.
Going the other way this time is a 3-on-2, and there's a chance here for the Dundee Stars to step in. Great save by Stephen Murphy, who came out to the top of his crease to narrow the angle down and keep the score at 1-1. Oh, what a move by Mike Forney. That sore wrist must be giving him a lot of pain there, but what a pass out from Derek Walser. A breakaway all on his own and a shorthanded goal from Mike Forney. There should be a chance here now for Brandon Benedict. He steps inside, top corner. Brandon Benedict, another shorthanded goal.
Well, it was Higgins to Higgins, back to Higgins. Circling, Higgins took it. Higgins round, drove the net, tucked her in.
Circles into Colin Sheehan, shows it towards the net in the top corner, past Madalora and a chance off there. Great start at the start of the second period. Colin Sheehan's with a goal.
Be students, be teachers, be politicians, be preachers.
Demarai now tries to get a right front shot coming in, top corner. What a finish! Except Mitch Kanzak stepping in from the point. What a goal! Great movement, power play effort this time, and I believe that might be Mitch Kanzak. The Puts a chance, 3-1 ahead. Chris Higgins jumping over the invisible man this time, and kept in at the blue line by Schultz once again. Here come the chances. The chance for a 2-on-1. Chris Beach and Chris Higgins. Higgins between the legs, pass. Another highlight reel goal. That guy's an absolute genius. Nottingham Panthers fans know all about it. Between the legs, right onto the tape of Chris Higgins or Chris Beach.
Wow. Outrageous.
We've done, how many times have we done that this season? Another highlight reel goal from Chris Higgins' assist. Just brings it back between the legs. Backhand goal from Chris Beach. Johnny, Giants 5-2 up.
What can you say? That was sensational. I mean, how many guys try that in a game or have the ability to do that in a game? Just great to watch.
So hello, good evening, and welcome to A View from the Bridge. After a fantastic week for your Stenhill and Belfast Giants, some may say that I bring all the good luck in Patrick Smith's absence, and we'll be talking about all three of the games over the last 7 days, the game against Dundee last Tuesday, Nottingham on Friday, and the trip to Coventry on Saturday night. We'll be dipping into the fan agenda. We'll be previewing what I believe is the biggest game of the Giants season so far tonight, if you're listening on Tuesday, against the Cardiff Devils, and also two games away to Nottingham and Brayhead in the league. As always, I am joined, when I'm here, by Mr. David McGimsey.
Good evening, Mark Hitchcock. Lovely to have you along again. You do bring the luck, as you say. Long may your reign continue.
You sound happy, Dave. You've got your mojo back. Must be something to do with Friday. And I'm also joined by Mr. Kernahan. It's Oren.
Evening. It's good to have you back. You know, it's nice to know you're not too big a deal to join us now.
Oh, what was that? 2 minutes. That's not that. 2 minutes before it was mentioned. So, yeah, let's kick off. Last Tuesday, almost a week away, and it seems like a world away, actually, with everything that's happened since. The Belfast Giants played at home to the Dundee Stars following their two friendly Olympic Series games against Cortina. It finished 6-2 in favour of the Giants. Goals from Raja, Forney, Benedict, Boxall, Higgins and Beach. Brannan were both for Dundee. Real spread there of goals for the Giants. And I'll start with you, Davey. A much needed win on the back of a good weekend against the Italian visitors.
If one thing has came out of the Italian weekend was that Stephen Murphy got himself the guts of 2 weeks off from he played one game, then he played his next game, and it refreshed him. Something special. You know, he's came back these last three games and been, you know, back to more like the Stephen Murphy of what he can be. And you know, this game started out a pretty tight, turgid affair in the first period. Dundee came to spoil. And I thought, you know, Dundee are a pretty handy side and they'd won two games against the Caps after a bit of a poor time. And as I say, the first period was pretty low key. And Darrell Lloyd changed this game with one monster hit that just the whole momentum of the game changed and the Giants went on and scored him from then. They never really looked back. Okay, Dundee had their chances and they've tucked away a goal. Brannan got one. I know Brannan's been given the first goal on the score chart there, but it was definitely Kevin Hart scored it from a Brannan feed. He's got in front and got a tip in. Nothing, you know, Stephen Murphy could do. But the Giants went on and run out. You know, 6-2 was comfortable enough for the Giants in the long run.
41-27 out shooting the Stars on, and six different scorers. It's good to see that there's consistency now seeping into the Giants locker room in terms of that goal scoring.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, and we've talked about it before, where we maybe relied on one line at a time, and we've not really had all, you know, all the different lines clicking on one night. So it was good to see some of the guys that we maybe don't see score very often. Boxy getting one shorthanded. In fact, you know, I think Davey mentioned this on our Twitter during the week. We had a strange situation here where we actually scored shorthanded on two consecutive penalty kills. Which, if I believe the stats correct, we've now scored and conceded the same number of shorthanded goals. Is that right, Davey?
We have scored 45 power play goals. We've conceded 45 on the penalty kill, and we've scored 12 shorthanded and conceded 12 shorthanded.
Yeah, so you know that's
we're consistent.
Yeah, that's good. That's good if you've got OCD.
But you know, it was nice to see, you know, the likes of Boxy getting on the score sheet and Chris Beach, you know, who scored a few goals early on and had maybe gone through a bit of a run where he wasn't scoring as often. We'll talk about it later. You know, he scored again on Friday as well. So. Yeah, it was good to see that, and you know, it was just good to see we were able to roll three lines with a fourth line there as well for a bit more, and it paid off because for once, you know, we got into the third period, and you know, the game was pretty tight going into the third, and we won the final period 3-0 to claim the 6-2 win, and fully deserved it, and I was very pleased to see, you know, that third period, which has been a bit of an Achilles heel for us at times, see it turn around like that.
And Davey, when the Belfast Giants play well, you usually see that the same old guard pulling in a great performance. Lloyd got the man of the match for you, justifiable?
Yeah, as I said in my first answer to your question there, Lloyd's hit that completely swung the momentum of the game. He's, you know, diesel as they call him, hits like a locomotive. He has brought that energy. He, for me, he was the man of the match in the previous game away in Cardiff as well. He's bringing the energy level that the Giants need night in, night out. And you need that from your third line guys. And what's more, I suppose, is that our best players over the last couple of games have been our best players. There was a lot of criticism, especially when Sheffield came to town a few weeks ago, when you stood up there and mocked us in the media box, you know, that, you know, Sheffield's best players outperformed the Giants' best players. Over the last three games, the Giants' best players have outperformed the other team's best players, and that's a good thing going forward. Jim Vandermeer coming in on the back end, I know we're going to talk more in, you know, the Nottingham and Coventry games, has really just solidified everything. He's came in there with a calm assurance. He does everything. He's strong on the boards. He moves the puck well. He skates well. You've seen his good goal in Coventry the other night. He has allowed the D to settle and let the goal scoring do its talking for itself. So I think he's been a massive addition to the team. He hasn't just came in as the knuckle dragger that a few people thought he was going to be. This guy's got game.
Well, we don't want to talk too much about the game last Tuesday night against Dundee. But before we do move on to talk about Nottingham, we did catch up with Jim Vandermeer, who made his competitive debut last Tuesday against the Stars.
Okay, joined now by Jim Vandermeer. Jim, first of all, welcome to Belfast.
No, thanks a lot. It's a beautiful city and I've been treated great so far. So,
You arrived over, obviously, last week. You got a couple of games at the weekend to get settled in against Cortina. But tonight, you know, taken to the Elite League for the first time, how did you find, you know, the overall pace of the game?
Oh, it was a good pace. I think, with the concert last night, the ice wasn't that great, but... you know, it's the same for both teams, so you got to battle through it. So there was a handful of crazy bounces out there, but other than that, it was good. You know, I just got to, get into the game and kind of almost be a little bit more cautious than I normally would, but it was good.
And you got out there, obviously you took the first shift. I think maybe it's fair to say that things didn't quite go to plan straight away for you there.
I think that was one of those bad bounces that we had. So we had it in the corner and it jumped around a couple of times and they threw out to the point and they got a tip. So, that's the way hockey goes. But, you know, we ended up coming back with a couple of good shifts and we tied it up shortly after. So, that's what good hockey teams do is they don't get down when bad things happen. They just kind of, keep powering through, and that's what we did tonight, and hopefully we can, keep this momentum going.
Yeah, so you must be really pleased. I mean, the guys came back 6 different scores tonight, a couple of goals shorthanded, so, you know, I think it was a pretty impressive and professional performance all around.
Yeah, it was good. You know, with a handful of new guys, and the guys that were playing at the Olympic qualifiers, basically didn't practice with them, didn't skate with them. We just jumped right into it, so... wasn't sure what to expect from them, like as far as kind of where they go, where their lanes are and stuff like that. Every player's different, so it was good. You know, the guys, we kind of dumbed it down a little bit tonight. We kept it really simple, and obviously it worked out good for us.
And looking forward with quite a hefty schedule over the next week or so. Face Nottingham on Friday, then across your first away game, and I think your first away game on Saturday. Over to Coventry, then back here for Cardiff next Tuesday. So, you know, that's a good way to get in, I suppose, for you, straight in at the deep end, really.
No, for sure. I think the less time you have to think and worry about it as hockey players, you know, most guys, we joke about it that we got to dumb it down for us, right, I guess. So, you know, this way we just kind of keep it simple and just, you know, if we take it one shift at a time, one period at a time, and just try to win most of that, we give ourselves a good chance of winning. So, looking forward to get out there and playing a bunch more.
So, following Dundee's visit, the Stenaline Belfast Giants were home again on Friday, and it was hashtag NFNF. Even some guy in Manchester was tweeting along as the Nottingham Panthers visited town. And deja vu, another 6-2 win for the Belfast Giants. A little bit closer in the scoring charts, but 2 goals from Shields, Raja, Ganzak, Forney and Beach. Bombach and Clark returning the goals for the Nottingham Panthers. I've got to come to you, Mr. Majimsey. First, as always, when we talk about the Nottingham Panthers, 6-2 against Dundee, you could almost half expect a good performance and a good result against Dundee. This one was more of a challenge, wasn't it?
You never know what you're going to get with the Belfast Giants at the minute, and that, as we say, the Cortina games, we had a good performance in Cardiff. The Cortina games were a good performance. A couple of guys got the opportunity to get goals under their belt. Then you've got Dundee, 6 different scores, as you say, and you're coming in all of a sudden with a bit more confidence, a bit of a step. And we went down to an early goal and it didn't knock our confidence. We kept going. We've got a lot of possession. We're getting quality scoring chances in Matalora. And as soon as we got into that second period, the goal from Shields just lifted it, lifted the crowd. Boomerang corner were going absolutely crazy. Near lifted the roof off the SSE that night. And the team fed off that. And it's always, there's always the argument about, does the crowd feed off what happens on the ice or vice versa? It needs something to happen on the ice to spark the crowd. Sometimes you get a crowd to come in and just go wild from the start, but generally you need something to feed off. And once the Giants got that one goal and got their foot into the game, we just kicked on, and you've got,
You know, Raja scored. Mitch Ganzak came up with two game-winning goals over the weekend, the first one on the power play on Friday night. There's never a bad win against Nottingham. And, you know, I went to bed that night a very satisfied punter.
And another big highlight from the night on was the sold-out signs going up at the SSE. I don't know how long it's been since that's happened, but a lot's said about the games are huge against Sheffield. Brayhead bring a big contingent, but there's something still in Belfast, isn't there, that captures the imagination when the Panthers come to town, as proven by that attendance on Friday.
Yeah, well, I mean, the games between ourselves and the Panthers, both in Belfast and in Nottingham, always tend to be fairly close. You know, even though it was 6-2, for a lot of the first period, you wouldn't really have expected the game to go the way, you know, to go the way it did. And I think in the end, we were fairly comfortable to win 6-2. So, yeah, I think people know that, you know, what they expect when they see those games. You know, there's a certain intensity to them. Even to this one, you know, it was just, it brings the punters in and they enjoyed it. And for once, it was nice, you know, even the likes of Brooksy up in the box before the game, we're joking that whenever we get a crowd in like that, we tend to lose. So it was nice to actually get a win in one of these for once. But yeah, I mean, it was, as David said, I thought it was a brilliant performance. There was a few keys. I mean, we only took two penalties all night. And I don't know how many times we've talked this year about, you know, taking too many stupid penalties. To only give up two power play opportunities, you know, in a big game like that is fantastic. We scored very, very early in the second and third period, and you know, that was the key. We got a goal after, I think it was 50-something seconds in the second, which brought us right back into the game. Although, in fairness, I thought we actually, without maybe creating the chances in the first, I certainly thought we had a good deal of the territory and the possession. So I wasn't disappointed going in 1-0 down at the end of the first. And again, an early goal at the start of the third, where I thought those were sort of the three key things there for the team. And we've claimed a big, big win. And just overall, the feel of the two games at home last week, it just felt like the guys had maybe switched it up a notch. And they're, you know, I know we'll talk about this later. We have a big game coming up this week. But it's almost as if the guys have clicked and realised the level of intensity they have to play at, and it's almost like they're almost in playoff mode at this stage.
You know, Hitchy, if I can come back in, there are nearly 6,000 in the building, and I think it was our good friend Joel Neal put a tweet out on Friday afternoon or later on in the evening. No such thing as a dead rubber against this mob. You know, this, people are buying into the NFNF. We do not like the Panthers, and that's okay by me, you know, and if a club can, you know, sell tickets off the back of that, all well and good. But, you know, this is the team that I love to hate. You know, it's a deep ingrained thing within me. And, you know, to come away with a 6-2 win. Let's talk about the fifth goal, Chris Beach. But what a feed from, you know, the Belfast Datsuk. He goes down between the legs and flicks it over to Beach, the far end of the empty net. There's not another player for me in the league that has that. You talked about having him on a line with Wah, and who else did you want him on a line with? Mosienko? You know, can you imagine the damage that kid could do when he's just on his game? He's came back from injury there, starting to get the wheels under his knees again. And tell you what, he could be a big player for us going forward the rest of this season.
Incredible, incredible assist, incredible goal. And it's not the first highlight reel assist we've seen on YouTube this year from Chris Higgins. But let's flip it on its head a minute and talk about a bit of a controversial moment. We don't normally talk about situations like this on the back of a comfortable win, but we had we're going to dip into the fan agenda early because it's relevant to the current conversation. And Matthew Patton asked, come to you with it, Davey. Second goal on Friday, do you think a linesman should have made that call, whether or not we were in front or not? Now, this is referring to the second Panthers goal, which It's very difficult to see on the replay, I find. I don't know if you've got a different opinion, Davey. What's your take on it?
It's absolutely, and I'm categoric about this, and I will fight with even the people that have came on and say, oh, it hit the back bar. The puck did not cross the line. And for Chris Wales, I agree that linesmen should be able to give the referee assist and say, I seen that across the line. Chris Wales is 100-120 feet away. He's got at least Jonathan Boxall, Colin Shields between him and where the puck could, the only place that in the whole goal frame that it could possibly have crossed the line. He can't have seen it. He cannot physically have seen that. He's seen the puck hit the ice, but it lands in the blue paint. He can't have called the goal from where he is, so no, he shouldn't have been calling the goal from there. He was adamant. You know, Dean Smith has said no goal. The goal judge has said no goal. that referee, or the line was ruled that out, or ruled it as a goal from 120 plus feet away with bodies between him. He had to be positive that went in. And we have GoPro angles, we've got the game night tape, we're able to slow it down, we're able to zoom in massively on it. There is not one frame of evidence that shows the puck crossing the line. The water bottle is in that, hanging in that top right hand corner of the net. If the puck went in and hit the back bar, it would have to go in behind the water bottle. It would have popped the water bottle. It can't have crossed the line. There's, you know, we've got VT guys that are here, experts in the field, who've said there's not evidence of it crossing the line. It didn't matter in the overall scheme of thing. It could have mattered, which is probably the bigger focus, that we need to get the video replays up and running for the start of next season. It takes there's enough doubt, and there's no doubt within the replays that it didn't cross the line. So the referees go and look at that, and even if one of them says, "Well, I think that's in," there's enough doubt there that it didn't cross the line, that it wouldn't have been a goal. At that stage, that brought the Panthers, you know, back into the game. You know, well, the Giants went kicked on and won, but for me, no goal. The linesman has to be 110% certain from that distance that it crossed the line, and it can't have been.
Well, interesting you bring up video replays, and I'm just quickly asking you the question about, well, firstly, if you concur with Davey, but also it's been a weekend of controversial moments in terms of whether it's a goal. The Sheffield Cardiff games, both in Cardiff and Sheffield, there was contentious goals disallowed. Video replays, is it feasible in a league with mixed budgets and mixed resource?
I think that's the key point there. You know, as far as our game was concerned, you know, I was up in the media suite whenever the incident occurred. I was able to watch the video within probably, I don't know, 10 seconds of it happening. And actually, you know, I think I had the video on our A View from the Bridge Twitter again within probably a minute or two of the thing happening. So, you know, in that situation, yes, you can use it, but in Edinburgh, they're using what their great granddad's old VHS video or personal camcorder or something to film games. So,
I'm led to believe that all rinks will have the video replay equipment installed for the beginning of next season, and I do believe also that on Edinburgh they have upgraded to an extent their equipment. You know, it's still going to be 10th in the league in equipment, but you know they have upgraded from the old VHS camcorder. But yeah, the video equipment or the replay equipment is definitely coming in.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the issue is that you can't have it in some rinks and not others. So I can understand why they haven't brought it in this year, but there's been enough examples across this season, really, as to why it should be a good thing. But in saying that, you know, I've watched some, not as many NHL games as maybe I used to, but, you know, they've now got coaches' challenges involved in the NHL, and I've seen, you know, looking at, there's a particular type of goal where, I've seen them looking at, you know, where a player has been in the crease or on the edge of the crease. And I've seen two almost identical goals scored. And in one game, the referees have given it, and in the others, they haven't. So, you know, yes, the video replay is going to be great, but we're still probably going to come down to the interpretation by the officials. And I think that could be a very interesting side to it as well.
Just what you're saying there, Aaron. I think that, you know, the video replay is, on the black and white, did the puck cross the line? You know, those ones, it's where you come into matters of opinion. You know, you've Jimmy Hard there last night for the Detroit Red Wings, gets kicked in the head after he trips a player, knocks him off his game for 1 second, and the puck's past him, and the coach's challenge goes in and the goal's disallowed. You've got the Mossy-Engo one, I know, with the Belfast Giants podcast and all. That's a real matter of opinion. For me, I think it was kicked in. I know you're allowed to deflect it, but I think he brings his foot to the puck. So therefore, I think it should have been disallowed. However, was it disallowed or was it allowed?
No, it was disallowed.
Disallowed, you know. Yeah. But the likes of Seth on the webcast, who was, you know, couldn't believe it had been disallowed. So there's, you know, they're the grey areas of matter of opinion rather than the you know, the Frank Lampard from the World Cup. It's crossed the line. It's black and white. You know, those ones are the decisions that will have to be getting right. And the matter of opinion ones can still be debated, you know.
Well, luckily for the Belfast Giants, the goal didn't matter with the 6-2 win. We caught up after the game with Derek Walser.
Coach, the game I think tonight that overall we probably controlled pretty well throughout, although we did fall behind early on in the first.
Yeah, we made a mistake. You know, we made a pass at the middle which shouldn't have been made, but you know, you're gonna make mistakes. Like, there's no way you can play a game and won't make mistakes, but after that I thought we moved our legs very well. We got the power plays we needed, the power plays scored some big goals. And then in the third period we did to them what a lot of teams have been doing to us, just sitting there when you have the lead. You got to learn to play simple, because when you get the lead, the other team usually presses a little bit harder, and usually they'll make an aggressive mistake, and all of a sudden you get a 2-on-1, or you get a bounce, and all of a sudden, bang, it's 4-1. And now it's 5-2, and then the game's over. It's out of reach. We did a great job. Last two games in third has been fantastic.
And it seems, you know, looking on, the guys maybe switched slightly towards a playoff mentality. You know, the intensity just seems up a little bit in the last couple of games.
I think we're starting to figure it out a little bit too. Like, I made some minor adjustments again, how I want us to be more aggressive in the forecheck, trying to trap as much. Because trapping's really, it can be done really well, and you can look real stupid when you don't do it, if you don't read the game properly. And I'm trying to take some of the thinking out of the game and let the guys sort of just freewheel a little bit on the forecheck. And right now we did a good job taking their time and space away, and they could never really get any momentum going up the ice. They always had to make two or three small passes to get out of the zone, and it was fantastic.
And then, you know, tonight with the goal given for the second Panthers goal, in the past, you know, something like that may have seen the heads go down, but tonight the guys, you know, reacted really well and came back and scored again.
Well, having the lead, you know, it wasn't like it was a tying goal. We still had a two-goal lead, and it was just one of those things, like, my opinion, I thought it was in right off the get-go without even arguing. I thought, yeah, that's a goal. It's, what do you do? Just forget about it. And that's what guys are going to realize is refs are going to make mistakes. We're going to miss things. It's not, you know, NHL where they have cameras everywhere and every high-tech thing to tell. You know, there's going to be human error. And all in all, I thought the refereeing was good. And, you know, the guys just kept chipping it in, chipping it out, playing smart, not giving up any odd man rushes, and it was a fantastic job.
And then one of the big changes you've made recently, you brought Jim Vandermeer across. You know, how much of an impact has he had on the D?
Well, he gives us we're working the toughness a little bit back there without Nicker, and Jim can play. He makes small little plays. He doesn't move around very much. He doesn't panic. He's only going to get better, guys. And that's the thing. Like, he's there, and when he's on the ice, the other team knows he's there. They're not gonna test the waters with him. And you know, he just wants to play. And if he keeps playing the way he is, he's just going to be better, and he's going to be a fantastic addition going down the stretch here. And like I said, we're going to crawl our way out of this, and we're going to battle right to the end. And the better he is, then we get Nicker. We're going to have some tough choices to go as a coach. But, you know, in the long run, I really like how the guys' effort's been the last couple of games.
And then, you know, don't like to pick out individuals. You know, obviously it was a great team performance, but there were some very, you know, important performances tonight. Colin Shields got a couple of goals. Chris Higgins and Mike Forney seem to be clicking again.
That whole line's been good. You know, it's one of those things you've been waiting all year. We've had injuries and constant injuries and moving and adjusting guys around. And Colin's been a guy. He's been up in the lineup. He's been down in the lineup. He just keeps on working. And you know what? He had a good opportunity to prove himself again that he can play on that line. And, you know, Nottingham's not an easy team to play against. They play physical, and he did a real fantastic job. And he just got to continue doing that and keep earning that spot to be there. And we're going to have more injuries, and more guys realize the injuries, you have an opportunity, you take advantage of it. And right now we have Rudy out, we have Johan out, Mace played solid tonight, so all in all I'm happy with everyone, and guys just got to step up. When it's your opportunity to shine, take advantage of it.
And then, you know, a good chance to just continue this role tomorrow. We're over to Coventry before probably the big game that everyone's looking forward to on Tuesday against the Devils.
Yeah, we got to realize, right, Coventry's in a dogfight right now. They're in a dogfight with Manchester for the playoffs right now, and we cannot go in there thinking it's going to be, you know, a no-hitter. It's going to be a physical game. We got to be very disciplined. They're very, 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 what's the best term? They use their stick a lot. They're whack and hack to try to get in your face. We got to stay out of that mess and just go there and play solid hockey tonight. And if they want to take penalties, make sure they pay the price in the power play. And you know, it's always nice to hurt a team trying to make the playoffs. You know, it's fun. It gives you a reason to step up your game a little bit and be the spoiler. So we're going to try to go there and spoil them tomorrow.
So after two very comfortable wins at home, the Belfast Giants on Saturday flew over to the Midlands of England as they faced the Coventry Blaze, a team desperately trying to cling on to the final playoff spot, the defending playoff champions nonetheless. In the end, it was a 2-1 win for the Belfast Giants. Vandermeer and a very late goal with 2:42 to go from Ganzak. Petrus in return for Coventry. And the Belfast Giants on, so far, so good away from home this season. So I suppose this was less of a shock in a way than the home wins.
Yeah, I mean, our away form has been up at the top or near the top all season, and our problem has definitely been at home. I think at the minute, even after those two wins at home last week, we're ranked maybe seventh overall for the points we've managed to pick up at home. But, you know, this was far from an easy game. You know, obviously last week we really looked at Dundee as potentially a tricky game. Dundee, a side that have given us trouble so far, and Nottingham, the big one that everyone was looking forward to. But you know, Coventry are right down there. They've now, after the weekend's results, they've fallen into ninth place behind the Storm, so they're out of the playoffs. So Coventry are absolutely fighting for a playoff place ourselves. You know, we're not really. I mean, I know obviously we're building into the Challenge Cup game, but league wise, we're maybe not playing for a huge amount. So. You know, the Blaze came out pretty hard. They got ahead early on with that Pietrus goal. And, you know, the Giants, it wasn't easy for us, but I thought the character in this game was fantastic to really scrap back. And, you know, as you say, and Jim Vandermeer to get his first goal, a really well-taken goal, actually. It came more or less straight off a face-off, and he sort of held off on his shot and then just placed it in low to Brian Stewart's left. And then the goal that won us the game was a fantastic one, actually, with a great breakout from Beach and Ganzak. But yeah, you know, it was good to see that character that we've seen maybe coming through in the last couple of games really continue into a game that didn't go all our way.
Gritty is the word I'd use, Davey. I guess that's the one. I was at the game covering it for A View from the Bridge on Saturday night, and I was also at the game with our good friend Neil Russell earlier this season when you played in Coventry, when it finished something ridiculous like 10-8. You couldn't get two polar opposite games, and it seems to me the Giants have changed quite a lot in the short period of time, and it really was a gritty, ground-out character performance on Saturday night, exemplified by what happened after the final buzzer with Vandermeer and Bruton.
Well, you know, Bruton really got what he deserved. He's obviously gone in hard to try and, you know, get that dirty goal right at the end when they're chasing to tie the game up. But he's on his backside and he slashes Derek Walser across the knees. Jim Vandermeer's already made a statement on the ice. This is not acceptable. You're not going to touch my goalie. You're not going to touch my coach, or you're going to take it. And Bruton, you know, wanted to go. That was up to him. Vandermeer gave him plenty of opportunity to turtle and then just, you know, fed him his dinner a bit. But, you know, for me, I you know, 2-1, I think the Giants were much more convincing. I thought Stewart had a very good night between the pipes for Coventry. We got a lot of grade A scoring chances. He had one fantastic, you know, kick save that he also took the post off the Murrins at the same time. But, you know, spraying right across east to west across his net to keep it out. They were similarly busy. Murph did everything he had to do, and he was very, very tidy. And we kept Coventry to the outside, and we didn't give them good scoring opportunities. And to an extent, Coventry kept us to the outside as well. But when we got our opportunities, Stewart had to make big saves to keep them in the game. And it was a very chippy game. There was a lot of minors, a lot of holding and slashing and roughing calls, and then obviously ends up with the, after the buzzer, fight with Bruton and Vandermeer, as you say. But Vandermeer's goal, you know, Aaron described it perfectly. He held it and held it and held it, and he placed that. That's a guy with, you know, a lot of skill. We talked about him earlier in the show. And that, you know, that's another string to his bow. And good win for the Giants. You know, traditionally, we've done well over in Coventry over the last number of years, and they are struggling now big time. A couple of weeks ago, we were giving Coach a bit of stick that, you know, Manchester, what have you done? You know, you've built the club in 3 weeks or whatever, but you know, you're not very successful. And all of a sudden, Pash has got that team bubbling, and they're what? They've won 7 or 8 out of their last 10. They're absolutely flying, and they're up in the playoff position. On merit, they've scored the most goals in the league. Okay, they've only Edinburgh have conceded more goals than them, but they're an exciting team. If they can get a bit of defence, brought in Swindlehurst now, you know, they've got a couple of British D-men now. If they can just get going, keep the goals going, Coventry might not be able to get back here.
Well, it's an intriguing battle, isn't it, at the bottom of the league for those final places. Just flipping back to Belfast for 1 second on. I mean, we've seen the last three games Two goals conceded in the two home games. Arguably, it should have only been one against Nottingham. Only the one goal conceded in Coventry. A lot of criticism on Stephen Murphy, fairly or unfairly. People have their opinion over the last few months. But do you find it's it's Murphy or the Belfast Giants D which have really been tightening up around him, or maybe a mixture of the two over these last few games?
I think a lot of credit has to go to the changes that have been made there. You know, you alluded to it a bit at the start of the year and even pre-season. We talked about how offensive-minded our D was going to be and whether we get the balance right. Unfortunately, you know, I think it turns out that we probably didn't there. You know, the 10-8 game was just the real sort of out there example of it. But since then, you know, I think we have tried to tighten up and we've had to make changes. We've brought in Jim Vandermeer. And I have to say, I know it's only three games, well, the two friendly games two challenge games and then the three league games so far. I think he's made a massive difference in there. He looks, you know, just a very calm and collected player. And I think it could turn out to be probably a fantastic pickup, coming into, you know, the real tough part of the season where you're into the league run in and the playoffs and the Challenge Cup. So I think it's credit to the coach who's adapted his systems a bit. You know, he's made us a bit more resilient back there. Mm. He's gone out and he's, you know, he's not been afraid to make decisions. I think maybe a bit early on, I remember, whenever we eventually had a full roster, we always had the extra import and he talked then about having to, you know, he would rotate, guys out, you know, around that. That didn't work, and now he's you know, he's taken the next step, I suppose, in his coaching evolution of having to maybe sit someone and make hard decisions. And you know, the last couple of games, it's been Johan Edepam, a very experienced guy. So I think it's just an evolution on that side of things from the coach and from the team, and that's helping Murphy now. You know, we're not giving the guys second, third chances in front of him as much.
Well, look, one thing I've noticed of Vandermeer, he seems to be having the impact on the Belfast Giants that you would have expected last year from Kevin Westgarf. And Davey, looking at someone like Vandermeer and looking at the guys who've been rested, I mean, Derek Walser, he's looking like he's been justified every single time recently with who he's resting and who he's playing.
It's great when it works out that way for a coach, isn't it? I think whenever the first opportunity came back around Christmas to be able to rest a player, we got beat the first night and, you know, it makes it look like a bad decision. If you know, if you win, it's a good decision. If you lose, it's a bad decision. It's just one of those things. You know, it's given Johan Edepam the chance to rest that couple of wee niggles that he has. And over the next couple of weeks, you're going to, you know, Matt Nickerson back on the ice today, a bit of ahead of schedule. He's got that, obviously, the Cardiff doubleheader circled in his mind and in his diary. Probably he's got a date with Henrik's stroke destiny that night. And hopefully Nickerson can make it back for those games. And all of a sudden, the Giants become very deep in that they've got injuries can be rested, niggles can be rested, form can be rested. You have to be absolutely flying to get in this team. The two games at the weekend anyway, were won without David Rutherford being in the lineup, and he's been instrumental since he came in as well. You know, about 9 or 10 games, point a game, and he's brought the body into the blue paint. And he did exactly what it says in the tin. He was asked to come in and change things up, and he has. And you just need to see him outside the locker room to see how passionate he is when we lost in Cardiff, and you know how he didn't. That wasn't acceptable to him. And we've kicked on over this last 2 weeks. Jim Vandermeer said it already twice in the show. I don't need to repeat it again. Has really brought something different: a calmness, professionalism, strength, power, credibility, whatever you want to call it. You know, we're so disappointing to look back on Kevin Westgarth's time in Belfast and the ability that big guy had, that he didn't have it in his belly anymore. He didn't have the fire in his belly to come and want to play. Jim Vandermeer wants to come and wants to play hockey, and he's, you know, he's came in with this CV. This is the type of player he is, and that's what he's going to do. And he's done exactly what it says in the tin as well.
Well, the Belfast Giants, 3 wins in 3 in the league since the last podcast. As I said before, I'm a lucky omen. 5 in a row if you include the 2 Olympic series games. Now, let's move on to the fan agenda. A shortened fan agenda this week. Last time I was on, we had about 15 questions. It's obviously been a less controversial week, probably because the Giants are winning. But we'll go 1-1-1. First, we'll start with you, Arne. Another one from Matthew Patton. Only with only 5 home games left, has anyone signed for next year, or is it too early?
Well, nothing obviously has been officially announced. I'm sure that decisions are being made and discussions are being had with guys that are currently on the roster. So, you know, obviously, once we hear anything, we'll certainly put it out there as far as signings are concerned. But I suppose one thing maybe since we can't say who has been signed, I suppose I'll say who I would like to see signed, maybe. And I think the two of the crucial signings to me would be, and I think Davey's already alluded to both of them, would be Dave Rutherford and Jim Vandermeer. I think that they would be two fantastic guys to get signed up as soon as possible for next year.
Have we got any... I'm going to get more abuse for that. Have the Giants, Davey, have they got anyone on 2-year deals at the moment? Anyone who's already tied up for next year?
Yeah, there's a couple, aren't there?
I'm sure there are, but the way Derek Walser spoke over the Christmas period, over January when we weren't going so well, I think all contracts will be re-looked at before anyone's signed. People are going to have to earn their contracts in the next 6 weeks or so. You know, there's contracts up for place. There's people that won't be back because, you know, they've let the coach down at crucial times of the season, or there's issues with them behind the scenes, you know. But Aaron's hit the nail on the head there. You know, Davey Rutherford, Jim Vandermeer, I don't know whether Jim wants to come back or not. Wouldn't he be a fantastic signing the way he's came in? Okay, he's only played 3 games, but he's came in, he's breath of fresh air. Brandon Benedict, for me, I'd like to see him back with a more of a playing contract next season. He's obviously came in as the guy in the back office who can cover if needs to. He played 50-something games already, unbelievably, and he's been fantastic. And if he's played 52 games, I think he's been pretty brilliant in 50 of them. You know, he's just... Benny never has a 4 out of 10 night or a 5 out of 10 night. You know, he's 7 out of 10 plus every night. He brings that energy. You're always going to look at Keith Lloyd, Garside, you know, all the British guys hopefully will pick it up for the end of the season here. Craig Peacock can give us a wee bit more, I'm sure, over the next few weeks. I've been, you know, chomping at the bit. I think Peaks has got more to offer, and I just really hope he can bring it over the last number of weeks. He's got decent points, but I think he, you know, power play wise, he just needs that one goal on the power play to get going again, and I'd like to see a bit more out of him. Stephen Murphy, we never know what's going to happen with. You know, he's been...
That's the one, isn't it? Only
because the import level's going up again this year, Hitchy. And that's another debate for another day, because we've had some brilliant chats with a few of the British guys over the last few weeks about, you know, if the import level goes up, that's 10 British guys out of a job next season. That's just the stats. You know, if 10 more imports can come into the league, it means 10 British players are looking for a job elsewhere.
And also 10 British players who will not be able to command as good a wage because they're not as, I guess, golden in the minds of the owners of the clubs. But yeah, I think Stephen Murphy's the key one for me in terms of seeing what happens there next year. And I guess it's going to be an interesting summer. It always is, isn't it?
It is. Sorry to jump in on top of you there. Stephen Murphy was exceptional the last 3 games. And I mean exceptional. Back to his, I need to do the stats there, but like, you know, 2 goals against Dundee, 2 against Nottingham, 1 of which shouldn't have been allowed, and 1 away in Coventry. He must be well up about 940 or so, and you know, save percentage over the last 3 games. He's came back refreshed from his little break. We've seen him, he's played 53 games without a break. You know, he's had 1 night off all season, and that is attritional. Don't care who you are. And it's the same for, like, look across the league. How many many different goalies have you had in Sheffield? Look at, or, you know, Brayhead have had Holt, Fullerton, Russell playing, you know, across the league, Vigman and Madalora and Nottingham. Goalies can't carry this load. Ben Bounds is doing fantastically well to be able to carry what he's carried. He's a young guy, he's an athlete, but as you know, I'm not saying Stephen Murphy's getting old. These guys need a rest. Look at, who did you have at the start of the season? Plant?
Well, you make a great point about Bounds. He had a shaky weekend against Sheffield. He was over, obviously, playing for GB, whereas I'm not quite sure, you probably know better than me, whether Murphy had a niggle or whether you opted out to have the rest. But yeah, not travelling with GB. Stevie Lyle played that second game for Great Britain, so he didn't exactly have a weekend standing around on the bench. It's obviously refreshed Murphy big time.
He needed the break. I don't know whether Murph was carrying a wee niggle, and GB agreed, look, if you're going to be back up anyway, you're probably only going to play the middle game. If that, Stevie Lyle obviously got it. Bounds is, you know, you're saying it yourself, Bounds is maybe looking a bit fatigued. Comes into Belfast tomorrow night, Stephen Murphy's a bit more refreshed. There's no doubt about it.
he has been a different Stephen Murphy in the last 7 days than he had been. I'm not a knocker on Murphy. I get a lot of stick on that crazy forum for sticking up for him too much, you know, but there was goals, especially in that card of first leg, fifth goal, a fresh, you know, mentally in tune Stephen Murphy doesn't make that mistake behind the net. He doesn't make that mistake tomorrow night. Take that to the bank.
Well, we'll cover the Devils game shortly. Let's just nip straight on to the next fan agenda question from Philip Armstrong at WeFill56. Arne, I'll ask you this one first. Garside really seems to have taken to playing on defence. Could you see a permanent switch to that position in the future?
He has. He's been an absolute revelation back there. And he's given us that extra option now where we're able to sort of keep some of the import forwards in the lineup rather than having to, and you know, able to set a couple of our day. Obviously, Nickerson's been injured. Permanent switch. I don't know that I would make a permanent switch for him, but I like the fact that he gives us that option. You know, as far as playing centre, you know, over the years, and again, Davey maybe has the more accurate stats, but I would say over the years, he's been one of our better or more consistent face-off guys as well. And that's a key aspect of his game, and something that he's brought in, and you know, on the penalty kill especially. So I don't know that I'd like to see him shunted back there permanently, but you know, to have that as the option, it certainly would give him an extra string to his bow as far as maybe coming back next year.
Davey, were you any thoughts on the question there about Garside? I mean, he's one of the players, isn't he, that you love having in your side, someone that can slip into that role, a bit like a Rod Sarich in Sheffield, who can play forward when needs be. You really like these utility players, don't you, in your locker room?
You do. You look at the likes of Mark Richardson, who made the move permanent. It was John O'Weaver as well, has done it over time. Trying to think, Curtis Leanweber at the minute's playing D for Edinburgh. Mark Garside has slipped in there. Derek Walser saw something and thought, I can work with Garside. And he's played very well. He was very, very good in commentary. He played well since he went back on D there. And, you know, his plus-minus is very good. He's got a lot more points in the last lot of games. And he takes shots from the points. You know, he's throwing pucks in on net because he's a forward and he's used to doing that. So when he gets the opportunity, something that we've maybe been critical of is we're not putting the puck to the net enough. We try to be a wee bit fancy on the outside. Our D-men are trying to be maybe just a little bit too creative. Instead of just getting the puck on net, you know, coach will tell you, net presence, get the puck on net, good things. And, you know, all the cliches coach likes to come out with, they're true. If you get the puck on net, you'll never score a goal if you don't take a shot. Mark Garside's been throwing it in there from the points, and he's been getting points and assists from getting redirects and stuff in. He's playing very well there. Do I think he's a permanent move today? I could see it. It wouldn't shock me, and I wouldn't be worried about having Mark Garside in as my, you know, one of my, you know, number five, number 16 in next year.
Thank you very much for the question, Phil. The final one I'll cover, guys. Don't worry about this one. It's from Kazi. Has hashtag MBDH been to more Giants games this season than Steelers? No. We're going to move on now.
You're going to have to... It's Carsey, right? So try and do that with an order. Carsey.
Carsey.
That's, yeah, much Carsey. Better.
Sorry, Carsey. Carsonado. Yes, but the answer is no. So now we're going to move on to looking at, well, ahead to the biggest game. I say the biggest game of the season so far. It's the Cardiff Devils at home for the Giants tomorrow night in the Challenge Cup. 5-3 down from the first leg, the last time the Giants lost. And before we talk about the game, Davey caught up this evening with Mr. Killer, Todd Kelman.
It's lovely to be joined tonight by a long-term fan of the show, Cardiff GM, owner, 50-50 seller, the Jackie Moon of the EIHL, as Neil the Coach Russell calls him. It's Todd Killer Kelman. Killer, welcome back to View from the Bridge.
Thanks. Good to be back, as always.
Killer, before we look at tomorrow, let's have a quick look at where Cardiff are right now. Top of the league, first team qualified for the playoffs, 2-goal lead in the Challenge Cup semi-final. On the cusp of moving to that new arena, is it fair to say you're probably ahead of the curve of where you expected to be when you first moved there?
I expected to be in the new rink by now when we moved here, but that's probably the only thing, you know, that isn't I don't want to say that we ever expected to be this good. Like I think we've had a great year so far this season, and long may it continue, to be honest. But we've had, luckily, I guess the biggest thing is we've replaced the guys that got injured with guys as good or almost better than what we had. You know, like getting, I mean, Gleason Fournier is one of the best players in the league, and we were lucky that we were able to add him. And we would have never really looked to add anyone if it wasn't for injuries, you know? It's not taking anything away from Marshy. It's just, I think Gleason's a special talent, and he's added a lot to our team. And same with Ryan Russell. He's, you know, he took a few, probably 3 or 4 games to kind of get into it, but he just does all the little things so well. And you can see why a guy that, you know, he wasn't a scorer and he's a small guy, but he played in the NHL. And you can see why, because he does the little things right.
You bring up Tyson Marsh there, and everyone in Belfast, and I hope across the league, wish him very, very well in his recovery. How's that going? I've seen some PR out of Cardiff last week that he's probably getting back on the static bike now. Things are looking a bit better for him.
Yeah, he's actually been on the ice now. He's we sent him to a concussion specialist, a guy in Vancouver that looks after, like, you know, he basically, the way Tyson described, he's got every NHLer that's ever had a head problem as one of his customers. So, you know, Sidney Crosby, Milan Lucic, all these guys have, you know, thank you pictures on the wall. This doctor, he's been doing this for 30 plus years. And so we sent him there because Andrew Lord had a couple, about 4 or 5 years ago, Andrew Lord missed a whole season with concussion, so he knows it well. And to be honest with you, we should have sent him there the first week it happened, but we just, you kind of start, you know, the old school thing of concussion is just like, I'll just sit and hopefully your headaches start to go away. And when they do, start exercising again. But it just wasn't happening with Tyson, and he was getting worried and we were getting worried for him. And our owners actually suggested him coming out to see, a specialist in Calgary, because that's where they're from. And we said, well, if he's going out, let's send him to the best, you know, like let's send him to the guy in Vancouver. So that's what we did. And I mean, the guy contacted us after one session and said, yeah, he's fixed. So
that's great news, and pass on our regards to Marcy and hope he speedy recovery, as we say.
Yeah.
As you say there about Andrew Lord being out, it brings a nice segue there. We hear nothing but good things about Andrew Lord. Have you got the golden handcuffs on him yet?
Yeah. No, he's have I got what, the golden handcuffs on him? Is that a Belfast term that I don't know? Golden handcuffs.
It just means, have you got him tied up to a good deal?
Yeah, no, he's already signed up for next year anyways, but, he's the heart and soul of the club. Like he leads from the front. He plays hard every night, and it's hard to, when you see a player coach dropping a block shots or getting his nose dirty or, you know, working his butt off every single shift, it's hard for it not to be infectious. And I think that's the biggest key with him, is he just got the room. Like the guys respect him so much, and although he's a player coach, he still, you know, rules with authority. So like, I mean, no one steps out of line. No one, you know, goes against the team. No one goes against the coach. And he's got the authority of a bench coach, but he's a player coach, and it's working really well. So
you're in a position, as we discussed at the start there, is it possible to take one game at a time? Like, or is tomorrow night a distraction from the big focus, which, you know, if you had a choice, you know, what the league's there with. UK is like over the 10 years or more, 15 years that you've been here, the league is the big prize. Would you take the league and accept, you know, maybe not doing so well in the Challenge Cup or the playoffs, or can you win it all?
I know it's like a classic line of like, we take it one game at a time, all that kind of stuff. I think, you know, like we really stress that to everyone. Like, I mean, we've had games where, you know, like me and Lordo will be having our post game talk, and it'll be an hour after the game, and we'll be going through what happened tonight, and when maybe we'll wander into the bar and someone will be like, oh, did you see the Belfast score? Did you see the Brayhead score? And we're always like, no, what happened? And they're always so shocked that we haven't like jumped on the computer right away after the game and followed it. And I think a lot of teams, you know, I think someone in the staff, you know, someone in the team staff always kind of keeps everyone updated on, but we've always said right from the very start, like, we don't even look at other scores during the game. So, and I know people say like, oh, there's no way they do, but like, that's the truth. We genuinely don't look at anything, until after the game. So we don't ever say like, going in the third period going, wow, we got to win tonight because, you know, Nottingham are beating Brayhead or Nottingham are beating Sheffield or, you know, Belfast are beating Brayhead. Like, we just don't even worry about it. And so as much as, you know, people say, oh, is the Challenge Cup a distraction? I think the Challenge Cup, people always say, oh, it's like the, you know, the trophy that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when your team gets knocked out and you don't win it. It matters. Trust me. Like, winning that last year was like the biggest thing that's happened for the Devils in 10 years. It was a huge deal for us as an organization. Obviously, like, as, you know, a group of owners and a group of management coming in and winning a title in our first year, that was huge for us. And it mattered so much to the fans, and it was great for our business. It was great for, you know, buying from the fans and from season tickets, everything. And, the fact that it was a one game final probably made it more of a big deal around the league because people could sit back on the Sunday and everyone could watch it on whether it was online or live there. But, you know, like, it matters. And we want to win it. Like, no bones about it. We want to win the Challenge Cup. You know, I'm not going to sit here the night before we play you guys and say we don't want to win it or we'd rather have the league or anything. We're not even thinking about the league. We're thinking about tomorrow night.
Yeah, now you've got me on the soapbox and you probably listen to the odd podcast. The Challenge Cup is a trophy that I want to win as a Belfast Giants fan. Fans around the league want to win. The format needs tweaked. It's obviously got its issues, but it should have the prestige. It's an old trophy. Okay, Nottingham dropped it and got a new one, but it's an old trophy going back years. You know, it should have prestige, so do what you can to get it back on its pedestal. You know, you've got the ability that I don't to get it back up there.
Well, yeah, no, we've talked about it at the board level, and I think I'm hoping we'll see a restructure in the way, you know, the cup is, the way the playoffs are formatted. I'm a big believer that, you know, we've got it wrong. I think the playoffs should be series, and I think the Challenge Cup should be what the playoff weekend is. I think the semifinal should be on a Saturday and the final on a Sunday. And I think the big worry has always been, like, in UK hockey, that you had to have this playoff weekend to end your season because that's what made all the money to cover all the costs for the league. And, you know, the playoffs don't make a ton of money for the teams. It washes, you know, we put money in all season, and at the end of the year, what we make from the playoffs, we all split it back, and it basically covers what we put in for the year. So no one's getting rich off the playoffs, but it effectively pays all the running costs, all the officials, everything, for the season from the playoff event. But in saying that, another event, like, you know, would fans attend the Challenge Cup? The Challenge Cup, it took maybe a couple years, but, like, let's say the last weekend in February, the first weekend in March was the Challenge Cup weekend where all the teams, you know, like, where the semifinals were on the Saturday and the final on the Sunday. I think it could build up to be an event like that. And then if the playoffs were a series, you know, whether it's three games, five games, I kind of pitched, you know, a scenario like that to the league last board meeting, of just that, you know, like changing the focus and getting the series, or getting, you know, playoffs into series. And, you know, everyone says the same thing. Oh, it doesn't involve all the fans. And like, I don't think that matters. Like, I think if you collectively looked at, the amount of people coming to games, like, imagine if Brayhead and Belfast had a best of five series and people say people don't want to see us play the same team. I think fans nowadays, like, we're well into this. It's not 2002 in Belfast where half your fans, you know, are asking what icing is every week and same within, you know, like, I mean, Belfast's been going 15 years, 16 years now and Cardiff's been going for 30 years and fans know they're educated now and I think they would love to see playoff series and I think they'd get it. Like, it's the only league in the world that doesn't do playoff series, as in the only country. Like, I'm sure DPL is the same, the league below, but, like, every other, you know, we come up again as a league, we're talking about Champions League with the Champions League people. They're always like, what do you mean? You want the league, the team that finishes first in the league represents your team? Like, who wins the playoffs? And then you have to explain all the playoffs is four games. So you want to talk about a trophy that really, like, in the big scheme of things, is the easiest to win? It's the playoff trophy. But it has a lot of prestige because it's the last big event, and everyone in the league is kind of there to see it. But, you know, the playoffs should matter more. We should be vying for position right now. And, yeah, someone wins the regular season, but the playoffs should be the big trophy, I think.
Killer, you got me. Hello, I'm voting for you. Yeah. But anyway, we'll move on to tomorrow night. We knew coming in this season that you were really deep up front, that you were going to be strong and, you know, had that puck-moving ability at the back. To be fair, you've got pretty good goaltending as well. Tomorrow night, what's Andrew Lord's strategy going to be? Is he going to come in, trap the life out of the game with a two-goal lead, or is he going to, it's a game, let's go win it?
I don't think he'll trap. I mean, I don't really know his strategy. He's a great coach, and I don't even literally don't even get I don't even mention systems or strategy to him because he's well ahead of the game in that department. So I'm sure he'll come in and play the game I always play. Like we try to play a game where we don't adjust to who we're playing. We've got a team that can skate with the puck. We got talented forwards, and the thing is, like, we match up very well against Belfast, and you guys are hitting a hot streak. Like, I watched a game against Nottingham, and I thought it was maybe your best game of the season. And I think, you know, having Vandermeer in the lineup is huge for you guys. I think the guy you added, Rutherford's a good player. I think Higgins is getting hot at the right time, and I think he's a really solid team, and Murph seems to be playing really well as of late, so. It's gonna be an interesting one for sure. It's a shame it's on a Tuesday because, you know, I know what it's like and I know what it's selling tickets in for any team midweek is. But, you know, if you're sitting at home and you're contemplating a webcast or being at the game, be at the game. It's gonna be an awesome game and you know, like I know, they're doing a ticket promo for season ticket holders, which is great. And hopefully, you know, there's 3,000 or 4,000 people there, but this is a game that 6,000 people should see. It's going to be a hell of a game.
I'm talking about full houses. What's happening with this new arena? Are we still going to be Belfast reopening night, or is it's just going to throw the keys away until next September?
I think everyone thinks we're doing this on purpose because we think we have an advantage in the Big Blue Tent, and you know, no bones about it. We win a lot at the Big Blue Tent, but like, you know, if I'm one thing, I'm a business person first, you know, there's the opportunity to make about, you know, 10 to 12,000 pounds more per game. So, we would have liked to be there at the start of the year and then at Christmas. And then, you know, the arena is ready to host a hockey game. It's just not ready to host a hockey game that you have to sell tickets or beer or hot dogs for. And that's the reality. Like we can't put a game on sale without a till system and we don't have a till system in the arena yet. So, there's no way to book a ticket online. There's no way to book a ticket from a box office. There's no box office staff. I think people think because they hosted an amateur game that, you know, 400 people watched, and couldn't buy a drink, couldn't buy a hot dog, were restricted to certain areas in the arena. That's not how I want to play a hockey game. I don't want to play a game that we sell out, but we have to sell tickets out of a porta cabin and have people walk across and general admission into the rink. I want to do it right. I want to put it on sale 2.5-3 weeks in advance. I want to, you know, like if we can't put on the tickets for the Giants weekend by the end of this week, or like maybe Monday at the worst, like next Monday, there's no point. I people think that you just open an arena, it just sells out in 2 or 3 days. It's still ice hockey and it's still a battle to sell out. And, you know, if we don't have 2 full weeks of selling tickets, we're not going to do it. We're not going to put it on sale 4 days before an event and expect to sell out back-to-back games, you know?
Well, Killer, the future is looking bright there in Cardiff. Are you still happy with the move?
Yeah. I mean, whenever I talk to you guys or when I see more of you guys than the guys I worked with in Belfast, but like, you know, it's always good to talk about the good old days, and I will always, always fondly remember Belfast. I still do. I still miss it. It's still the team that, you know, people wouldn't realize, but I still pull for Belfast over any other team besides Cardiff, obviously. But like, if it was up to me and we couldn't win the league, I'd always want Belfast to win it. And Thorts is one of my best friends. I got a lot of buddies that are on the team, and I always want them to do well. I probably watch way too many Belfast webcasts because when you guys tend to play on a few Friday nights. And so when our team's not playing, I'll always buy the Belfast webcast and listen to the sultry sound of Simon Kitchen and Shane Johnson. I'll always feel a connection there. And I've actually, you know, I've purposely stayed away this year just because I don't want my team to ever feel like it's a distraction of me going to Belfast, like me going back to where I used to play and used to manage. And, I'd love to be there in person, but I just want it to be the fewest distractions possible going into a big game in Belfast. So I'll be watching on the webcast like a lot of people tomorrow.
Well, Killer, we appreciate your time. And as always, we wish you all the very best of luck moving forward. Obviously,
all right.
Scratch that for tomorrow night, but you know, from Wednesday morning, all the best again.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
So thank you very much to Davey and obviously to Killer. So 5-3 down, it's two goals down for the Giants moving into this game. We've seen, well, we've all seen over the last few years that a lead in the Challenge Cup means nothing going into the second leg. Coach Derek Walser, Davey, expects a war. Do you concur?
I think we have to play that kind of game. I think the first goal tomorrow night as well, or tonight if you're listening today, is absolutely crucial. We have to come out of the traps tomorrow night, and hopefully with the offers the club have been putting on, there'll be a big crowd in to get behind the guys. I'm sure Cardiff will bring a few guys over too, but it is absolutely crucial that we don't go a goal behind, because I think that three goals is maybe just a bit of a mountain to climb. All of a sudden it's a one goal game, and the way we've been scoring goals and defending this last week, I believe we can win this game and move through to the final, and then you're only one game from a cup, and it's a cup that and you'll hear in the interview with Killer as well there, you know, it needs radically overhauled, but I have always said consistently that it's a trophy that has prestige, and it's a trophy that I want to win, no question about it. Yes, it is belittled at times. It's much, much harder to win the playoffs. I don't understand why the league mock it so much, because it's now, you know, you're talking the last week in February and we're only down to semi-finals. You know, I think you're playing back-to-back against the Panthers, aren't you? So over
yep,
two nights.
Tuesday,
you know,
Wednesday, yep.
That shouldn't be happening either, you know, in the competition at this stage. But it is what it is. Let's not go on to that game. You know, I just think that we have the ability in the locker room. We've got a bit of form. Our goalie's playing well. It's just all set up for an absolute barn burner. If you can't be there in person, get the webcast. It's going to be a great game of hockey.
Absolutely, absolutely. I guess with it being such a key game, and we've just talked on about Coach Walser and his decision-making process, who would you rest is the question I'm going to ask you. Huge question, but who sits out?
That's a huge question, yeah. I mean, obviously, we've won three games in a row there without Dave Rutherford, but prior to that, he was the spark that had sort of, the one bright spark that had been while we'd been going through a spell of, five losses in a row. So you'd have to expect that he comes straight back in. Who do you sit, you know? You know, a few weeks back, you'd have maybe thought Chris Beach would have been a potential candidate, but, you know, he had two assists in Coventry. He had a goal against Nottingham. You know, he's really clicked on that line with, I think he's been playing with Higgins and Forney recently. I don't see Edipalm coming back in. I think potentially you see Jeff Mason sit again. You know, and I think Mason played well in the three games, but you know, I think you might see us. You've got to get Rutherford back in there, and I think we might take the option to switch to 5D.
And who would Coach David McGimsey rest and go with tomorrow night?
Hitchy, I'm a great believer in if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And over the last three games, we've played really well. I can totally see where Aaron's coming from in the 5D situation. And yeah, if that's the case, you know, history over the last number of weeks has told us that that's probably the way the coach will go. Forward for forward, the only swap you can make for David Rutherford's Brandon Benedict, and Benny's playing too well. You know, so unfortunately for Rutherford, it's taking a bit of a knock. He's out of the team. If he's fit and ready to go tomorrow night, yes, I'd love to have him in the lineup. Would I tinker with the lineup? Not necessarily so. So I don't know. Who'd be a coach?
Absolutely. And like you said earlier in the podcast, if he rests someone and you win the game, he's a hero. And if he rests someone and you lose the game, he made a mistake.
You never change a winning team, isn't that the old, you know, the old adage? So it's a difficult, very, very difficult call. Don't envy him in the slightest.
100%, 100%. So looking at the game, straight down the barrel, let's have a prediction from you both. Starting with you, Arne. 5-3 down going into the second leg. What does your heart say? What does your head say?
They both say that we'll go through in overtime.
Okay. Interesting one, yeah. Davey?
I honestly am not sitting on the fence. I just don't want to make a prediction. It's too big a game. My heart and everything in my being, as you know, passionate Belfast Giants fan, I want us to win. I believe we've got it in us to win. I believe that first goal, as I said earlier, is going to be
so crucial. You'll hear what Benny has to say about it coming up here. You know, it's just massive, and I hope we get that first goal and we can go on and win it.
As Davey says, we caught up with the man himself, Brandon Benedict.
Joined tonight by Belfast Giants forward Brandon Benedict. And Benny, we're looking forward to tomorrow night's game. Or, well, tonight's game, as it is, the show goes out tomorrow morning. But well, let's look back. First of all, we've had three good wins over the last week. Things a bit better in the camp at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, when you're winning, everything's better. Yeah, I mean, it was a good game against Nottingham, Dundee, and then in Coventry was a battle. But we were able to find a way to win. So as of recent, yeah, we've been playing pretty well. And the most important thing is, we're finding ways to win.
I think getting a bit of home form back into the team as well was important. We haven't been that great at the SSE over the season. The standings tell us that. But, you know, especially against the Panthers out the weekend, we really took the game to them. And, you know, there's been a bit of criticism, even from Walser and Thorts over the last wee while about, you know, our top players being outplayed by their top players. It's fair to say that, like, you know, Beecher and Higgy and Vandermeer's really solidified things on the back end. And that's allowed us to, you know, our best players to be our best players.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you need. I mean, I think everyone realizes that. You want your top players to perform, if you want to be successful. Obviously bringing in Jim has really helped us, I think, on the back end. I mean, he does everything well. Skates really well. He moves the puck. He's smart. He's tough. He gets the pucks on net. He's got a big goal in Coventry. He just does all the little things that, you know, on the backside that you want. And has really helped our team as a whole, to be honest with you. I mean, when he came in, we've been winning. I think, and that's one of the pieces that we've been missing, and I think it's ended the results.
I know we'll never, you know, throw up the white flag of surrender until it's completely mathematically impossible, but we look to be out of the league. How crucial now is tomorrow night's game? You know, it's going to be hopefully a big crowd in to cheer us on. Good deals done by the back office, and first goal is crucial.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's mathematically we're not done from the league, but you know, we got to, it's a big one tomorrow night. We all realize the magnitude of the game and how important it is for the organization. Trophies can make the season, so you know, you just want to, if we win tomorrow night, we can move on to one game away, more or less. So, I mean, I think that's our focus. We're just going in. We're going to try to win the game. I mean, we know we're down by two, but essentially, if you win the game, you'd like to think you win by two. So, it's not a tall order. I said that before. I said that last week. I really don't think it's a tall order. We just we'd like to score first, obviously. I mean, the first one's going to be a big one. We played. If we score first, I think that they'll sit back a little bit, and I can really, really get the momentum on our side. So, first period's big. I mean, the first goal, I think, is key, though. So, just got to have a good start. Focus on details. Focus on little things. So, just play the game. Forget about the score. I think they'll have the kind of the same mindset as well.
And you talk about momentum, and we take that in the league. You know, we just have to try and win every game to the end of the season. I take it that's just the focus.
Yeah, in the league, yeah. I mean, we just focus game by game now. Yeah, that's exactly our mindset. I mean, again, we're going to focus on tomorrow night. It's obviously not a league game, so we just focus on the game tomorrow night, and we'll move on from there to Friday and Nottingham. But right now, our main focus is, that's what we talked about today at practice, it was all about tomorrow night. And then and that's our mindset. It'll be kind of game by game mindset. We won't be looking too far in the future. You know, 2 weeks on the road or like that, it's going to be game by game. So tomorrow is Chris Cardiff.
And we have a bit of a road swing coming up then. I think three on the road at least to start. And boys are obviously going to be playing a bit banged up. Does that extra depth that we've got with the likes of, you know, David Rutherford, Jim Vandermeer coming in, just give a few boys that if they're carrying a wee knock, they've got the ability to maybe just take a night in the stands and just repair that damage?
Yeah, I think Walter, I think that definitely helps Walter make his decisions. He wants the guys to be completely honest with him. If you're not 100%, you know, we got to be open. We got to be honest. We got to be unselfish in that sense, and to let him know to make sure that he can make the appropriate decisions as to who's plays. So, the depth. I mean, on the weekend too, like, you know, Rudy Rutherford was out. Obviously Johan Nicker. So we got three guys out. So that depth certainly doesn't hurt us, especially when injuries arise. I know there's still guys that aren't at 100%. So tomorrow night,
be adjusted. We'll be adjusted accordingly to how guys react from one night to, sorry, tomorrow morning to training. So we'll see how everyone comes out for training tomorrow morning, and we'll also make the lineup.
And great to see, albeit with the yellow shirt on, great to see Matt Nickerson gingerly taken back to the ice today.
Yeah, no, he's recovering ahead of schedule, apparently. He was on the ice. It was good to see him out there, pushing pucks and passing pucks for the, doing the, helping with the drills. It was good to see him out there. You know, he's a really positive guy, and he's been working hard to get back. It's been about 4 or 5 weeks now, so he's ahead of schedule, so who knows when he'll be back. And, you know, he's got an appointment on Wednesday, I think he said, so hopefully it's positive news and he can get a little more involved.
I think talking to Nicker, he's got an appointment with Mr. Hendricks as well, but that's on down the line. But Benny, we appreciate your time tonight and all the best for tomorrow night, and we'll talk to you afterwards.
Great, David. Thanks, I appreciate it.
So thank you very much to Brandon Benedict. And as we've mentioned previously, and we mention every single week, if you can't get yourself down to the SSC Arena, and I really hope you can if you are in the area, you can catch it, as always, with the White Barry.
Your flight over yet, had you?
No. Sorry, I'll be watching the White Barry White, Simon Kitchen, because unfortunately, there's no webcast from my Sheffield. Now, after the game against Cardiff, the Giants go into two games that won't even be in the back of their minds this weekend, mostly because of the current league standings. A game away to the Nottingham Panthers on Friday, and away to Brayhead Clan following that. Davey, I guess these games are almost more important for the teams they're facing. You've got the Nottingham Panthers, who are in the thick of a title race, you would still say. The Clan have dropped away. We'll come on to that in a sec. But for the Giants, I guess it's just having a strong end to the season, isn't it? It's picking up as many wins as possible, keeping the role going, and finishing as high in the standings as they can.
I don't honestly think the Nottingham Panthers are in a title race. And if you look at Belfast go into Nottingham on Friday or Saturday, whatever night it is, and we win, we're a point behind Panthers with a game in hand. Does that put us back in the title race? No, it doesn't. I just don't think that. I think now that it's important for the Belfast Giants to keep on a run, keep the foot on the gas, build momentum. You know, if we get through tomorrow night, all of a sudden the 6th of March comes around very quick, and you need to be playing well to go and try and win that cup final. You need to keep this momentum going for a playoff run, because no matter who we get in the playoffs now, and it's a bit of jostling for position. Fife Flyers look like they're going to win the Gardiner, because Brayhead are racked with injuries, can't buy a win at the minute. Dundee Stars are so up and down. Manchester Storm have left themselves too much to do. So Fife finish 7th in the league, but go 2nd in the playoff standings. And all of a sudden, you know, who finishes 3rd, 4th, 5th, it's crucial to us who you're going to be lining up against. You know, Belfast won't want to face Sheffield. They haven't had a good record against them this season. Will not really want to face Panthers. In reality, you'll want to try and get a Gardner Conference team. So all we can do is go as hard as we can and try and get that third place finish, you know, in the league. We've got to go to Nottingham and play our game. And, you know, we beat them 6-2 there the other night in Belfast, and we beat them well. There's nothing that suggested to me that Nottingham it's been very, very close in Nottingham. We've taken a win there early, I think it was maybe the first or second or third game of the season. We can go there and take the 2 points on at the weekend.
Well, the Giants almost go into these games with no pressure at all, I would say. All the focus is on the cup. By then, they'll know if they're in a final or whether they're just looking forward to the playoffs, and that's that for the season. All the pressure seemingly is on Nottingham and against the Clan team, which have collapsed dramatically. I guess what will we see some of the certain star quality players in the Giants just turning it on and trying to just prove a point, especially with next season on the horizon as well?
In a way, I hope not, because, I'll change that. Yes, I hope they do, but if that says more about how they react to being under pressure, then, you know, it could be a good learning experience for the guys that are making the decisions, as far as, you know, making signings for next year. But yeah, I do think the pressure will be off a little bit. But you know, guys are playing for contracts. I think it'll be a very intriguing last few games. You know, partially dependent on whether we have the final, because if we've got a final to look forward to, you know, there'll be guys playing to play in that final as well. You know, if we don't, it could, you know, the season from here can go, I guess, two ways. And it's going to be very, very interesting to sit back and watch which way it goes and which way some of the players go.
Now, in terms of the two opponents, the Nottingham Panthers, as I say, are, I guess, in touch with the Cardiff Devils, dependent on the next few results. But then you turn to a team like the Brayhead Clan, who in January, I think we all sat on A View from the Bridge, even when Paddy was around, and said, it's theirs to lose. It's absolutely unbelievable, Davey. They've lost six of the last seven. The people said, can they do better than last season? They've almost out-Brayheaded Brayhead in terms of the collapse last year. I mean, can you put your finger on what's gone wrong there?
Yeah, and you'll hear the interview with Ryan Finnerty coming up, and I ask him that very question. Put your finger on what's gone wrong, coach. And, you know, not to sound like the Nottingham Panthers of a couple of years ago, because they were able to replace, you know, their forwards one by one as they went down to the medical room. They're missing five of their top, you know, of their top eight forwards at the minute. You can't carry that. Now they've got good goaltending and Holt and Fullerton, you know, they're able to rotate their goaltenders purely because, you know, of the number of imports that they've got out. You know, Richard Hartman's playing for them. Finnerty was going to lace the skates back up only for a visa issue. You know, this is how much the club is struggling at the minute. And then you've got the likes of Jordan Kearney when he gets the opportunity to play, says, nah, I'm way down to London Eye. You know, it's not easy for them, and it really just has been a case of the injuries have caught up with them in a short roster, you know, league where you can't just readily replace forwards, and especially, I suppose, after the signing deadline, and it's just caught up with them. Yeah, we give them a bit of stick, the Primark Pirates, a bit of stick for choking, but at the end of the day, I'm not so sure it's a choke this season as much as just circumstances have dealt them a bad hand.
Well, the Nottingham Panthers and the Brayhead Clan games won't be available on webcast. Quick prediction from you both. What do you expect, Arne, first and foremost? How many points can you see the Giants taking from these two games?
This will be a 3-point weekend.
Okay. Davey?
I'm hopeful for more. I'm hopeful that the win over Nottingham at the weekend, at the weekend past there, give us enough of confidence that we can go in there and not even win. And I think that Brayhead are just struggling too much at the minute, and the Giants are just going to have a wee bit too much for them in the tank. But as you say, Finner coming up there, you hear what he has to say about it.
Yep, as Davey says, let's hear from him now. The man himself, Brayhead Clan head coach Ryan Finnerty.
Joined tonight by Clan head coach Ryan Finnerty. And coach, there's no real easy way of asking this nicely. Have the results over the last few weekends sort of ended your title challenge?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a mathematician to figure out we've definitely slipped back here, in the last 10 games or so. It's been a pretty tough battle over here.
Can you pinpoint the reasons? You know, is it injuries, form, things outside your control generally, or where's it all gone wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it's 100% outside of, you know, a lot of it is outside of our control. I mean, you look at, we typically all season, you know, for over 30 games, we were in there, and then we lose five of our top nine players through injury and of course GB, and then, you know, we get back and then we sustain another one, and then another one. We finally feel like we're going to get back to healthy, and then even today we got news that we might have lost another import forward. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you can't control it, but we can't sustain it. I mean, it's obvious we can't sustain. When you have five of your top nine forwards out, and you're playing against teams that are fighting like Manchester and Fife that are playing well, the league's too good. You can't sustain them. And we played well and lost. We played bad, poorly and lost. So it's just been one of those things. And then losses, you know, they kill the confidence. So right now we're a team that are obviously under a ton of pressure here, but it's just finding a way to kind of manage that and get the guys kind of going. And, you know, it's really the only real, you know, thing we need, a positive thing we need is to start winning here. I think to do that, we definitely need to get healthy.
You've got three games now, cross-conference games, to get that health, to get that momentum before you step back into Gardner Conference for the rest of the season. Is that crucial now to go and try and get that second, you know, the second playoff season with trying to win the Gardner Conference?
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to be talking about it, and at this point, honestly, like right now, our main focus is one, getting healthy and staying healthy. You know, because even if we were playing one or two short, it would be fine. You know, just having to sustain, you know, playing three or four and our top guys, I mean, our Scott Pitts, our Matt Keese, our Alex Levitz, I mean, these are all our top players, our centermen. I mean, when you lose a centerman, it's extremely tough. But, yeah, so our focus now is one, to get healthy and get the confidence going before looking further on past anything here.
You swapped over the last few weeks there. You swapped Chris Bruton's goals for Neil Trim's creativity, and he's gone with, I suppose, the forthright views of at least one ex-teammate in his ears. Is it just of a case it just needed to happen at that time and, you know, move on, wish him well and move on?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, things kind of pop up that from a coach, it puts you in a tough spot, and, you got to make the decision for what's best for the team. And everybody knows me. That's my main focus is having a good dressing room. I think that's how you win. I've been a part of teams that have solely won because we had good rooms, and, I'll always be that way. So, you know, for me, I'm not afraid to have to step in and do that. And that's what we had to do. And it's an unfortunate situation. You know, Chris is a great player. But also we get a guy that we're familiar with and Neil back. And obviously Neil and Pitter have such a good chemistry when they play together. Unfortunately, they've played about 4 minutes together since we picked them up. You know, Pitter got a concussion in the first game that Trimmer played in Nottingham there. On the 6th of February. So we haven't really been able to kind of see that dynamic yet. And then all of a sudden we lose Keith. And so we lose a lot of creativity up the middle. And it's tough. It's been tough sledding. You know, we're trying to find, you know, anything that works. We're moving guys around. We got my 41-year-old coach, assistant coach taking shifts. And you know, it's just been something I've never seen. It's like an epidemic and it doesn't seem to be stopping, but we are hoping to, you know, maybe get one or maybe both of those guys back this weekend. So that would be a huge boost.
We're not going to see Ryan Finnerty with the skates back on anytime soon.
Oh, you know what? I would have, but the visa laws don't let me. I actually wanted to. I didn't want to, but I definitely would have. To be honest, I said, I can't believe I'd actually was in that situation, but because of the way the visas work and you got to now play X amount the year before, it wouldn't have worked for me. So it was that situation. Had it, you know, if it was a possibility, if I could, I definitely would have. Mm-hmm. You know, we were pretty depleted there.
One position you've probably got a little more strength and depth at the moment is between the pipes. You know, Holt and Fullerton have kind of been sharing the load a little bit over the last few weeks. Is this something that, as the season tightens up towards playoffs, you'll be looking for one of them to go grab that job and make it their own?
Yeah, you know, and it's been tough. It's been tough to analyze. You know, because when you're playing so shorthanded, you're giving up scoring chances that normally you wouldn't do. You know, we were one of the best defensive teams kind of leading up to the last 10 here, and everybody's trying to figure out what's happened to our scoring, you know, and our lineup's been gutted from the inside out here. And, you know, so the goalies have been facing a lot more shots, a lot, you know, grade A scoring chances. We've been chasing games. So we've been kind of hanging them out while we're activating D-man and whatnot. So it's been a tough goal for both of them. You know, when you look at goals, they're making big saves for us, but you know, we're letting four or five in, you know, on nights where typically we probably only be letting one or two of those in if we weren't in the situation we were in the game. So it's tough, but my job's kind of to sit back and truly analyze what is going on and where we need to be. And, you know, you can only control what you can control. And right now, you know, we're just trying to get some healthy bodies in. We're trying to find that chemistry once that, you know, when they're there, trying to find chemistry of what we're working with today and moving on. And, you know, there's a ton of negativity. It's British hockey, you know, I think Chuck Weber said it's like the worst he's ever seen for social media as far as Twitter and fan pressure and everything. So you can imagine it escalated in Brayhead right now. It's pretty bad, but we're just going to try to ignore it. And like I said, the only really thing, the only way to get out of this is start winning, and winning gives you guys confidence, and then you move on from there. But,
you know, yeah, this is, it's been a pretty ugly month of February so far.
Well, I kind of know where this last question is going to go then, Coach, if we finish with a kind of glance towards the weekend at the SSE. You come into Belfast, you're going to have to try and muck it up and spoil the game and see if you can just take something away rather than go toe-to-toe with the Giants.
The following weekend, you're talking about?
Yes, the next game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got you. Sorry, we're in Bray Head at the weekend.
On Saturday, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Like I said, you know what, though, and the good thing is we went there last time. We won there last time. And that was, we were kind of backs against the wall a little bit. I think Holtzie had got hurt the practice before. We were playing Rusty, our backup. We had a few injuries and we were managed to do a decent job of neutralizing Belfast offense and got some timely goals. You know, and I think that's kind of be, you know, hopefully in 2 weeks here, God, I'd like to think that we're going with a full lineup with all our guys and ready to go, getting geared up for playoffs. But we'll see. But yeah, you know, I think, Belfast is a place we played pretty well in, you know, this year. It hasn't been it hasn't been too bad. We've been in some tight games. We've been in some battles with them and, we've done okay against them. We haven't actually, you know, still have two more games left. So, you know, it's not a team we've seen a bunch recently. Obviously you keep an eye and you watch some video on what they've been doing. They seem to be kind of striding now a bit, but we'll have to see once we get to Belfast here.
As just something you brought up there in your answer there, Coach, some things get lost in the shakedown over the season and Russell's performance in Belfast is probably, you know, a highlight, especially for him during the season. He came in there just, as you say, when Holt went down injured and he held us in a few games over a couple of weekends there. And it's good to see these British guys getting their opportunity because they're good servants to the club. They turn up to practice every day. They go on the road trips to do what they have to do and they get very little ice time. And it's good when they get that ice time to get them rewarded with wins.
Yeah, and it was nice. I mean, we carried with Rusty for, you know, I don't know, a couple of weeks or so. So I know Foley came in and he backed up a few games because we couldn't get Rusty out of the net. It's great to see him and it's awesome and it's tough to, you want to get these guys in there more and it's potentially like a league where you were, you know, you're sitting in third and you're not going to go to fourth and you're not going to go to second. You can then rest that guy. But in this league where there's so much pressure on every organization to win, you know, it's tough for coaches to really make that decision because you kind of hang yourself out for scrutiny, right? And you'd like to just say, well, I don't care about that. But the reality is that you have to win, you know, and so that whole development side is also very, very hard. It's one of the things where you want to bring kids, you want to get guys going, you know, and you see you got the same people are saying, hey, we need to develop guys, or the same guy that's criticizing after every loss, you know, and it doesn't really go. And that's kind of tough. And I think most coaches struggle, you know, definitely coaches that are coaching in the top 5-6 teams here struggle with that. You know, they want to get these kids ice time, but at the same time, they're employed to win games. And it's a tough balance, I find. But, you look at a kid like Rusty, Rusty probably could be a starter in this league. You know, he's a guy. Obviously, you're going to get better. The more you play, the more you play, you're going to get better. And it's tough to not have him in our lineup, to not give him another shot. It's hard not to. You know, I'm not saying we're not going to get him back in there because I do think we will try to get him in there down the stretch where we can. But, it's just very difficult. He does such a good job. And like you say, they show up every day. These are the kind of guys, you know, they don't say a word. They show up. They eat pucks and, you know, they're standing in front of the guys that are going bar down on them all the time. And, you know, it's a tough job and you'd like to see them when they get that appraisal. And it was pretty special. You know, the first game he played here, it was pretty special. I think he had a lot of family and a long time coming for him. So it's always nice to see.
I'm not going to press you, Coach, on specifics around Jordan County, but just around the subject of British development. You know, you've said there it's a results based league and you're the likes of yourself, Chuck Webber, whoever, Derek Walser, they're judged on their results and ultimately their jobs depend on getting results. Is there anything that can be done to nurture British talent? Because these guys want to play hockey. You know, they're hockey guys. I assume Jordan County just wants to play hockey rather than, you know, have some limited, you know, ice time. He doesn't want to earn his ice time, for want of a better term. He wants to go to Milton Keynes or whatever. Is there anything that can be done in this league to develop British talent further?
I think it's tough the way the league setup is, and like, you know, and it is, it's everybody wants to win. Every owner wants to win. No, you know, and from 1 to 10, and you know, at the same time, we need to develop these kids, and then maybe this fourth line is potentially a fourth line of young guys that you can mold. And you know, if you can grab a 17-year-old kid and bring him along with you, that is going to learn, is going to develop 99% in practice, you know, and be able to be on the bench and again get spotted into games when he can. But some, you know, then when you got kids that just want that ice time, want it, it's just not realistic in the way the league is going. And I think, you know, the way the league's going is, you know, say 14 imports next year. It, you know, you realistically look at that, anybody carrying two British defensemen are going to have 9 import forwards, or like yourself in Cardiff that have British goalies. You have 9 import forwards already. So it's hard. And then when you want to get power play and you want all, you know, it's very, very tough on, well, it's just a tough road, but at the end of the day, it's the same road we all had to take at some point in our lives, you know, and it's not easy. You know, I don't know what the answer is. If it's a fourth line with an age limit, you know, or if there is an age limit, you have to have X amount under this age, British kids can develop them and each team kind of finds them. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that it's just not going to be given to anyone because it's just, and especially early days. I mean, over time, you look at our lineup, you know, if you were to say somebody comes in and waits their time, you're going to get a ton of ice time over the last 10, 12 games. You know, we got a 41-year-old coach playing. Yeah. We would have taken anyone, you know, so those situations happen. And that's what they say. It's all about patience, and you hear about guys and, you know, guys that played in the NHL. It's timing and being in the right spot at the right time. And then, you know, the difference between an NHL and potentially a very good East Coast League players is minimal, as you've seen over the years with players that have come over, you know. A lot of it's timing, but you gotta be in there. You can't just, that's my thing. And, you know, obviously he's going to be a good player. He's going to be a great player, but my thing is at some point you gotta hang in there. Nothing, you know, the way the league's going, nothing's going to give it to anyone. I mean, look at your guys' team. You look and you got 20, 30 goal men that probably aren't seeing power play time. You know, and it's the way it is, and you gotta buy into your role, and teams that can do that are usually teams that win. And they can get guys to buy into their roles no matter what it is. And I think that'll be an important thing. But we definitely do need to develop some British players, and there is some good talent out there. It's just a matter of finding that, you know, common goal for organization and player and coaches and player to get them the right ice time and put them into situations so you can keep them engaged all year.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time tonight. We look forward to there's a good coach load of Giants fans traveling this weekend to Glasgow, and we look forward to welcoming you back over to Belfast the following weekend, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks, David.
So thank you to Ryan Finity from the Brayhead Clan. We're going to finish just by touching upon some bits and pieces from around the league. On a Monday, there isn't normally as many news stories breaking as we have when we record midweek, but we'll just touch upon what's happening in terms of the standings as we head into the final month. And also this week, the other semi-final. So hopefully for the Belfast Giants, they'll be booking flights and preparing for a March Cup final in Sheffield. The other semi-final sees the Nottingham Panthers face the Sheffield Steelers. It's the biggest rivalry in world sport. And Arne, do you have a prediction on this one? You've seen both of these teams fairly recently in the SSE. Always a difficult one to call, isn't it, the Sheffield-Nottingham rivalry. Who do you fancy to come out of that fixture?
I think the Steelers are, over two games, I think the Steelers are probably the stronger side. You know, the Steelers, to me, and I'm sure you have your opinion on this as well, are probably the only team really left who can even challenge the Devils for the title. So I think, over two games, the Steelers, they've just got a little bit more about them. The ability to get results, even maybe when they're not playing, you know, playing their best. Which was pretty much what they did actually in Belfast. You know, and last season they had the experience of winning from last season where a lot of the same guys. So, I think to keep you happy as well, I think we'll go with the Steelers.
I'm happy with that. Davey, have you got an opinion on it? I'm sure you'd prefer the Orange to come through.
It's a very difficult call because I don't fear the Sheffield Steelers, but I think they've got more in their tank
in a cup final than the Orleans Panthers, perhaps. I don't think this league's over yet. You know, Belfast have played Cardiff three times. Have you got them again at all, or are you done with them?
We're done with Cardiff. It's all down to you now, mate.
You know, three games against them. I don't think they'll beat us three times. I think we're a different team than we have been. It bugs me so much. We were a good team up to Christmas. Yeah, we'd lost the odd game. And yes, we weren't playing particularly brilliant brand of hockey or anything. But we were right in the mix. On the 1st of January, we were in touching distance at the top of the league. You know, as Steve Thornton said on the podcast a couple of weeks, we had the horses, we were there. And we just totally tanked in January. And it's so frustrating to see this team that suddenly sprang back into form. They had a weekend off, they got a bit of rest. A few guys got rest and injuries. A few guys got a few days annual leave and, you know, got to take the cork out and release a bit of pressure. And all of a sudden, we've came back flying. We've brought in a couple of new bodies and it's really energised the place. And I wouldn't fear either team. It's interesting that the biggest rivalry in world sport has sold almost 1,400 tickets and, you know, good tickets or maybe crap tickets still available. But, you know, that game's not going to be sold out. And I think that's an indictment. And I can't understand why Sheffield are being, you know, they're spoiling, they're not allowing the rest of the league to see this spectacle either. There's no reason they couldn't put a webcast on tomorrow night other than Nottingham aren't doing it the following night. So it's disappointing that these two big games won't be shown. Cup semi-final, nobody's going to see them apart from the 1,400 people in attendance. But, you know, I don't really care who comes out of it. I would prefer, I know you'll not believe this, I would prefer Nottingham to win. But only because I think in a one-off game, we can handle them better than we can handle Sheffield.
And also, I guess you haven't performed very well in Sheffield against Sheffield this season, so it's not necessarily a fixture you'd be looking forward to as much as you would maybe against the Nottingham team in a neutral venue.
I think we're better than we have been all season. I think we're in our richest vein of form at the minute, but Sheffield are stacked. Mosienko is a fantastic hockey player. He's arguably the MVP in this league, and you've got a player like Matthew Waugh in your roster there. He's obviously, you know, you pay the big bucks, you get the top stars, and you know, that's what Sheffield have done, and credit to them for being able to manage their budget that way. And, you know, they're not a team that I want to face more often than I need to face this season. We've faced them 8 times, we've came out 7-1, I think it is, or 1-7, as it'll actually be if you're looking at it the right way. But I just don't want to face them any more times than I have to.
Well, as Davey says, those games aren't available, unfortunately, online. In terms of the race for the IHL, great point that Davey makes. The Belfast Giants still have a huge say. I'm sure it doesn't have any consolation to the fact that they're not in the title race, but 3 games against the Cardiff Devils. You've got the Clan twice, you've got the Panthers. Those teams not necessarily in the race. I mean, where would your money be right now on in terms of that championship race? The Steelers, they kept it alive, didn't they, in Cardiff on Sunday night, but it's still got to be pole position for the Devils.
Yeah, I mean, they're in possession of first place. They're still playing pretty well. You know, they went into the Sheffield and won. The key aspect there, I think, and we touched on it a bit earlier, is how Ben Bowes probably goes the rest of the year. He's been, you know, I think he's, as far as the stats, the goalie stats go, I think he's ranked sort of top of the league so far. Obviously, he's got a good team, a good D in front of him there as well. But, you know, if fatigue sets in, it's a position he's probably not been in before. Top of the league with only a few games left and the pressure of being a favourite. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds. But I think that it's the Devils to lose at this stage, really.
And one final thing to talk about around the league. It's not news, but again, it's talking about league positions. That fascinating race for eighth. And we'll touch upon it in honour of the alumni of A View from the Bridge, Neil Harrods-Russell. Davey, getting to the playoffs is clearly key. Now, years ago, we probably would have sat here thinking, well, you're just looking to extend your season for a few more quid in the bank. Last year, the Coventry Blaze scraped into the playoffs and they won the damn thing. So you look at Manchester, you look at Coventry. At the moment, it looks like it's advantage Storm. Can either of these teams not only clinch eighth, but have a great chance at winning the playoffs?
One of those two teams is going to clinch it. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think either of those two teams. I don't think the Blaze are the same team they were 12 months ago. You know, Blaze were rocking at this stage of the season. They were they flew into the playoffs. They didn't scrape in, you know, by the back door. They flew in on a rich vein of form. They came in with they were reinvigorated by a coach who played a very specific style of hockey, and they rode a very, very hot goaltender. Stewart's playing well, don't get me wrong, but I think that, I almost think, I said earlier in the show there, I think the Storm have almost done enough. Okay, the points, you know, the points on the board, Coventry have to keep play those games, but Coventry, you know, Coventry have to play Sheffield a few times, and they have to think that they play Manchester again as well. That's going to be a big game. You know, I think the Storm will now clinch that eighth place, and credit to him and the pass and coach and all those guys that set that club up overnight. And, you know, I think that's as far as they'll go. They'll end up playing the league champions, who I still think there's a lot of hockey to be played. Belfast are out of it, Nottingham Premier out of it. I think it's between the two teams that are top of the minute. Sheffield have to play Nottingham a couple of times. I think just the way the fixtures lie now at the end, I think it's you know, it's Cardiff's to lose at this stage, and they could lose it. Sheffield have been, you know, there or thereabouts for, what were you saying, 5 or 6 years now. They haven't been outside the top three in the positions, and they know how to get across the line. Cardiff, okay, they won the Challenge Cup last year, and Andrew Lord has done remarkable getting such a strong, deep roster in there. And, you know, there's obviously the Todd Kelman factor in there from his Belfast days. If we can't win it, you know, I'm not really that bothered who wins it, but at the minute, it's pole position for Cardiff Devils, certainly.
Well, it's been almost 20 years since the Cardiff Devils lifted Monty, the first year of the Super League, and it's going to be an intriguing end to the season for sure. The Devils, Steelers and Panthers have now all qualified for the playoffs. I believe the Capitals are statistically out of it, but all's to play for the remaining places. And also, looking at that fixture list, the final game of the season, Coventry versus Manchester at the Sky Dome. That could be absolutely enormous. Before we leave you for the evening, I'll just want to go around the table and just ask if there's any other business. Arne, anything else you want to bring up, or any tributes, or, you know, birthday wishes or anything like that?
I think it is. I think the last thing to say for me is just to everyone who can get out tomorrow or tonight or whenever you're listening to this, get down to the SSE Arena. It's £10 a ticket. Get in and let's get behind the guys and really, really, you know, let's try and recreate the atmosphere we had at the sold out arena on Friday that, you know, that Colin Shields took the time to glance up towards Boomerang Corner when he scored his goal. Let's get that kind of atmosphere going again and try and push the guys into a final.
Thank you very much, Arne, for your input this evening, my lovely friend. And Davey, anything from you before we depart?
Just as Arne says there, you know, if you can't get, you can't get the webcast, if you've time to get down to, I'll say, a tenner for a ticket to get in the Cup semi-final, a must-win game, and the Giants are playing really. Get yourself down there. I've seen on Twitter tonight, there's a young kid called Dylan Kage. He's obviously in hospital, he's a bit ill, and he's tweeted out there, if the doctors think I'm missing the Challenge Cup final tomorrow night, they've got no hope. And you've got the likes of Kiefer and, you know, Derek Walser tweeting and saying, you know, we're going to do this for you, kid, where we'll be, you know, doing our absolute best. This is the wee things about hockey that make it so important. Hockey is so important to all of us as Belfast Giants fans. Get yourself down to the Odyssey or the SSE Arena tomorrow night. Get behind your team. This is a chance. We are 120 minutes away from potentially winning a championship. If you don't want to be involved in this stage of the season, I don't know what more you can say. Get down, get behind the boys. This is it.
There you are, the rallying call from Mr. Majimsey. Thank you for your time, as always, as well, Davey.
Hoorah!
Hoorah! So here we have it. It's been a disappointing ride since the turn of the year for your Belfast Giants, but a season in the balance with a huge, huge game tomorrow night. Tonight, if you're listening on Tuesday, you obviously are. Davey's got to edit it. Against the Cardiff Devils. Watch online, get to the arena, cheer on the Giants, and hopefully after that game they'll be moving on to a doubleheader in Nottingham and Brayhead as they continue their quest to finish as high up the league standings as possible. I believe Mr. Smith is back next week. If you lose three times and he's back as host, you know the reason. I'm Mark Hitchcock. It's been a pleasure to step into the breaches and be with you. Have a great week and best of luck to you all.
So there you are, folks. Thanks for joining us this week. Thanks to Brandon Benedict, Jim Vandermeer, Derek Walser, Todd the Killer Kelman, Ryan Finnerty, all for their time, Hitchy for chairing, Aaron for coming along and giving his insight. It's a massive week for the club. Big game tonight against the Cardiff Devils. Get down there if you can. But wherever you are over the next few days, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you next time on A View from the Bridge.